June, too soon. July, stand by. August, we must. September, remember. October, soon over. November, all over.
An old mariner's rhyme. In preparation for this hurricane season, Sagicor General reminds you to take all necessary safety precautions to protect yourself, home, car, family, and business. Get the protection you need from Sagicor General. Give us a call at 431-2800 or email us at getcovered@sagicorgeneral.com. Sagicor General, wise financial thinking for life.
And it's time for us to say good morning to the Sagicor team, our regular link, Mr. Richard Smith, and he has a special guest with us today. Richard, good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Ronnie, and you are very correct. We do have a very special guest, and this is a gentleman who I'm sure that, you know, some people would say that we should have perhaps aired this episode last week or week before. But very, very timely, we have with us today Mr. Greg Paris. Greg really needs no introduction. Greg is a qualified civil engineer, very experienced, not just in Barbados, but across the region. And he is a director with the Caribbean Engineers Partnership. And he has also worked... And he has worked with organizations such as United Nations Development Programme and PAHO. So Greg is perhaps one of those persons who are very much in demand this week after the passage of Hurricane Elsa.
Welcome, Greg. It's excellent to have you here. And we're looking to benefit from your expertise, your wisdom and your knowledge. First up, we just experienced Hurricane Elsa. What lessons as a country should we take away from that experience?
Well, good morning, Ronnie, and good morning to all of the listeners here. I think, Ronnie, we're still taking away, trying to grasp what has happened in some context. As a country, we would have obviously experienced the hurricane category one. And I think, you know, it sort of sensitized people to what these wind speeds and the forces really feel like. You know, in the past, when we hear a system was on its way, most people would go to this market and stock up on non-perishable items. But now, I think after the passage of Hurricane Elsa, people are more cognizant about their surroundings, their infrastructure, their homes, and probably or hopefully going forward, when the next system approaches, you know, conscious effort would be made to focusing on securing the surroundings also.
What are some of the things to consider when building a house to make that house storm resistant?
If you think about the stage that we're building, and we assume that the drawings have already been done by either an architect or a draftsperson, I think that what a homeowner should do is really engage or contact an engineer to review the plans, to have a look to see if there are any areas within the plan that could be vulnerable in the event of a high wind system. So for example, if you're looking at a lightweight roof, and when I say lightweight roof, Ronnie, I'm talking about a tin roof, looking at the shape of the roof, obviously, you will get into this further in the program, but you know, a hip shape, which is a roof that slopes in four directions, is more stable than a gable shape, which is a roof that slopes in two directions, which is a triangle basically. Looking at if the structure is not rectangular, so for example, square shapes are more resistant than rectangular shapes, that are more resistant than L-shaped structure plans. Then the engineer will be able to advise on how those reentrant corners could be dealt with or detailed. So I would say, you know, having an engineer involved looking at the plans, and obviously, ultimately, having an experienced contractor who has worked on projects with other consultants. And, you know, you could always track and see the experience of a contractor by asking them to show you examples of buildings that they would have worked on and speaking to the clients that they would have interacted with.
I always thought a corner was a corner, but you introduced a new corner there. Please go back and explain.
No problem at all. So if you look at an L-shaped building, where the jumpy changes from a rectangle into the other rectangle or the perpendicular section, that corner is called a reentrant corner.
Oh.
And during high wind events or even a seismic event, those areas attract more pressures, more force. And therefore, those are vulnerable areas for structures during a hazard in the form of either a hurricane or a seismic event.
Now, you mentioned the shape of the house, the shape of the roof. Where does land come into this in trying to calculate and consider all of these factors? What are some of the things to consider when buying land?
Well, if you think about what a hurricane brings, hurricanes bring high winds, bring torrential rains, and they also bring storm surge. If you start with storm surge, obviously areas or land close to the coast will be more affected than inland. So if you are in the process of purchasing land, you would try to stay away from the coast. Now, I know that Coastal Zone, they would have done studies in the past, so they probably have the impact of the storm surge for various systems. So, you know, it would be good to even consult with them if you're in that process of buying land and you're considering the coast. Look at the rain, torrential rain. If you drive through some developments, Ronnie, you would realize that after a heavy rainfall event, and they say heavy rainfall event, I also mean heavy in terms of downpour, but also duration, there will be areas that will be ponding or flooding. You'll want to stay away from those areas which are called catchment areas, where the water from the surrounding properties travel to and pond in these low-lying areas. So obviously, you want to stay away from low-lying areas. In terms of the wind, open-ended valleys, they tend to funnel the wind and cause acceleration during a hurricane, as well as building on a crest or cliff. The wind speeds are higher in those two scenarios. So it's not to say that obviously if you're constrained by, you know, land was passed on to you, you would definitely need to engage the services of an engineer, because you will have to build a stronger than normal building in those scenarios. If you're next to the coast and you had constraint because it was passed on, you want to do some sort of development, obviously building on stilts, but still having the building laterally braced from the impact of the wind would need to be considered. So those are things that engineers will look at and consider in the structural orientation or design.
Half an hour with Sanjay Kaur, the voice of Mr. Greg Parris, myself and Richard listening intently to make sure that we make the right decisions. 30 minutes with the compliments of Sanjay Kaur.
June, too soon. July, stand by. August, we must. September, remember. October, soon over. November, all over.
An old mariner's rhyme. In preparation for this hurricane season, Sagicor General reminds you to take all necessary safety precautions to protect yourself, home, car, family, and business. Get the protection you need from Sagicor General. Give us a call at 431-2800 or email us at getcovered@sagicorgeneral.com. Sagicor General, wise financial thinking for life.
As we proceed with Mr. Greg Parris and Richard, of course, he's making sure that everything is in order as we continue. And the next question is, what materials should I consider when building my home?
Funny, what I would say for this is that once the building or the structure is properly designed, built, constructed, and maintained, you shouldn't have any issues. If you take a look at the some images across Barbados, you would realize that there are some chattered houses standing perfectly fine next to some other lightweight structures that had demolished during the event. And we were getting to this, but the reason for that is that a chattered house, for example, meets certain basic criteria for safe hurricane design. So what I would say is that the material is not necessarily a critical thing. Obviously, in Barbados, the two main types of material, the two materials used mainly for house construction would be concrete masonry and timber. But you would also see that in some instances, some concrete masonry houses would have lost a wall or roof. So it all depends on the design, the detail, the construction, and the maintenance of the buildings.
And there are certain new types of materials that are popular. How do you assess them against the traditional wood or wall? Traditional.
Yeah. Well, I think I would advise any homeowner, once there is a material that is not conventional material, then you have to know more about the material. So as an engineer, what we want to know will be the material specifications. What do I mean by that, Ronnie? How strong is the material? How much weight can the material hold? How does the material perform in dry or in wet conditions? Is it lose strength when it's wet? We also want to know in terms of how does it behave when it's moist in terms of volumetric changes, what happens? So before anyone goes to use a new material, they should definitely not just get from the manufacturer the specifications on the material, but consult a professional to have an independent assessment of the behavior of the material.
On to features. What engineering or architectural features should I consider when designing my home?
Well, I would say, Ronnie, is that for a non-engineered building? What do I mean by a non-engineered building? A non-engineered building is one where, obviously, there's no engineer involved to advise you on what you should do to build a home that is hurricane resistant. But there are certain minimum requirements that you should try to follow if the structure is going to be non-engineered. So for example, if you look at height, you should limit the height to 2 stories, so 1 to 2 stories, that's one. If you're looking at lightweight floors and roofs, you have to ensure that they're adequately connected to the walls that support them, right? And we mentioned shape earlier. So as I was saying, you know, the square is better than the rectangle, is better than the L or the T shape. But you also have to look at how internal walls are positioned, openings are oriented, because if you have symmetry within the house, you get a balanced distribution of the forces during a hurricane, right? You also want to look at slender walls or slender piers. So if you have a wall that has a significant amount of openings, obviously that would weaken the wall. And the thing is, the walls that are parallel to the wind are the walls that actually provide resistance during a hurricane or lateral force event. And if you picture it, Ron, if you had to put loads on a book, you're holding the book, hold it flat, right? The book could bend and deflect. But if you hold the book, you can see the pages looking down, it's much more stiff in that direction. So the walls that are parallel to the wind are the ones that provide the lateral resistance. And it would be good to keep openings in those walls, which are obviously perimeter walls, but if you can minimize, you know, the amount of openings to form slender walls, then you're making it become a stronger building. Linking the walls at the top with collars or ring beams is also a positive step. We talk about slope, you know. We want to keep the slopes. You don't want the slopes to be less than 20 degrees. In fact, the steeper, the better, up to about 30 degrees. I spoke about shapes earlier. I said that the hip shape is better than the gable shape. And I said that the hip roof is a roof that slopes in 4 directions. And we also have to look at the overhangs. So in fact, you know, the overhangs are what you will see as you walk around the perimeter of the building. So it's good to have no overhangs. For that type of building, non-engineered, I think, you know, it will perform well. But obviously, any significant deviation from what I just mentioned would involve pretty active involvement of an engineer. And finally, Ronnie, the aim is not to restrict design, but to sensitize people to those factors requiring caution.
Well, what you mentioned regarding there was no engineer involved got me scratching my head. Shouldn't an engineer be involved as a matter of course? Do we have a standard building code? And if we do, how can an engineer not be involved?
So there's a difference between having a code, Ronnie, and having a code as a regulation. Mm-hmm. So Barbados would have had its first building code drafted in 1993. and subsequently updated in 2013. I know as we speak, there's a framework in place to regulate the construction industry, especially the housing sector. But that, as we speak, is not something that exists. So that is why different contractors can do different things on a similar type of building. So it's not regulated. So you can have a code, but if it's not regulated or it's not written in law that this code should be followed, then right now it'll be a free-for-all until the framework is in place, whereby there's a regulation and then there's an audit on structures being erected. Then at this point in time, the code exists, but just proceed.
But until such a time exists, how can you not have an engineer involved?
Well, I mean, to be told, Ronnie, if you're doing what I just described to you, which is just a simple rectangular square shape house, and you are an experienced contractor, well trained, then and you follow the guidelines that I just mentioned. Technically, the building could be non-engineered. You do not require the engineering input. Once you start to sway from those things, for example, if you wanted a house, then you told yourself, man, I don't want a 30-degree roof. I want to have a roof that is 15 degrees so I could see over some window that you have. Then that's a change. If it's a change, you would say, look, I need to get an engineer to tell me then what size of members I should use, what connections I should use between the members, and go from there. If for argument's sake, Ronnie, you said, I want to have this big glaze opening so you can look out onto the ocean. I don't want any obstructions whatsoever. Because you have a massive opening, which could become a dominant opening if it becomes broken in a hurricane. Once again, you would say, look, you know what? Let me talk to an engineer and see what I need to do to strengthen around that to ensure that it stands up during the event.
I smile when you say for argument's sake, because if you do it wrong, there will definitely be an argument. Sajid Kaur on VOB 92.9 FM.
June, too soon. July, stand by. August, we must. September, remember. October, soon over. November, all over.
An old mariner's rhyme. In preparation for this hurricane season, Sagicor General reminds you to take all necessary safety precautions to protect yourself, home, car, family, and business. Get the protection you need from Sagicor General. Give us a call at 431-2800 or email us at getcovered@sagicorgeneral.com. Sagicor General, wise financial thinking for life.
VOB 92.9 FM, 12 minutes to 10 o'clock, and we are spending this time with Sagicor Life. And remember, this program on a Wednesday, helping you get informed and specifically prepared for all of us to learn and walk away with knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. And Mr. Greg Paris has certainly provided that to date and will continue to do so for the remaining portion of the program. Now, you mentioned engineering or architectural features to be considered when designing the home. What about retrofits that can be used to increase resilience to wind? So explain what a retrofit is versus when the home is being designed.
So right where the home is being designed, obviously is in the beginning stages, so you can incorporate strategies to deal with the hurricane or earthquake. I'll be focused on hurricanes today. So those can be implemented from the early. Let's say that you have a structure that was built in the 1980s. Now obviously because of time, you have to maintain some of the structural elements, but then you also may look to strengthen some of the structural elements or even protect those vulnerable parts of the building. And for hurricane, obviously the most vulnerable parts are roof, external walls, external windows, and doors. So where it comes to the roof, it's advisable to have the metal connectors. So, BRC has them, they are the manufacturers of some of them, but there are other manufacturers across the Caribbean and across the world. So these metal connectors that help to transfer the forces within the roof members better and are stronger than the conventional nailing, just using nails alone. In terms of windows, build, having storm shutters, you know, sometimes off-the-shelf storm shutters may be expensive, but using plywood sheets and that bolted onto the wall along the windows could be a retrofit. And where those are concerned, having, for the external doors especially, no less than 3 hinges and a bolt at each other face. So at the top, a bolt, vertical edge a bolt, and in the ground a bolt to help secure the door, right? Those are the thing that will come to mind at this moment. Obviously, if you get into strengthening the walls or the floors, you know, we have to, that's more specific. But what I would say is that for timber frame buildings, you have to ensure that the corners are adequately braced. If you ever go into a supermarket, Ronnie, and look up in a supermarket or like a warehouse-like structure, that's a big scale, but I'm going to bring it down to the timber frame house. And you look up, you'll see some cables running in the roof in the supermarket. You'll see some cross braces or some cables. And then if you have to follow those cables down through the walls, you may also see some braces in the walls as well. Those braces and those cables help to provide stability to lateral force. So you push the building, those cables are as a beam that spans horizontally to then take those loads down into the braces in the walls. Similarly, for a timber frame house, I would advise someone to make sure that the corners are adequately braced using timber connecting members, and in the walls themselves, between the studs of the timber frame, having cross braces or diagonal braces to stabilize the house. For concrete frame buildings, if the walls aren't reinforced, you know, that's a difficult one, and that starts getting into destructive repair and retrofit. I don't think we should do that.
I heard you mention storm shutters, but I didn't hear you mention taping windows.
Right. So the thing with taping windows, right? So taping windows, so typically the glass that we use for windows is annealed glass. Mm-hmm. And when annealed glass is broken, it breaks into shards. A shard is a, you know, obviously a big chunk of glass. Mm-hmm. But it has been proven that even when you tape a window and it becomes damaged, the shards are still there and it can still cause serious injury to someone. So windows, if you have to talk about hurricane-resistant windows, you really have to use laminated glass. And laminated glass is the same annealed glass, but two panes separated or sandwiched in a composite or laminate, so that when it's impacted, for sure you don't have the shards, and it's a much stronger glass than annealed glass by itself. To talk about toughened glass, now toughened glass, you know, if it becomes fractured or punctured, it breaks into very small pieces, which is how the windshield on vehicles is really. So that's why when the windshield breaks, it breaks into very small pieces because it's all toughened glass. For windows, it's annealed and you break into shards, and the taping was originally thought to prevent these shards from, you know, dislodging, but subsequent hurricanes have proven that taping is not as effective as one may have thought.
So what five...
Ronnie, I just wanted to go back to storm shutters for a quick second. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to go back to storm shutters for a quick second. And, you know, lots of persons are very concerned about the costs. And one of the things that we've said, you know, in the past, and Greg can correct me if I'm wrong, is, yes, it is a cost. But if you systematically over time decide, well, this month I'm going to get shutters for these two windows and next month for these two windows, over time, you then build up a battery of resistance towards, let's say, wind damage. And then the increased thing is, let's say it happens that there's a storm or hurricane before you completed that process. It may always be good to start with what we say is creating a safe area, an area which would include, say, a bathroom, an area that you can shelter in, an area that perhaps has fewer windows, which then has a strengthened area, and then is more resistant then, or resilient in the event then that you have a major system.
Yeah, so I think what you said is a good idea. I think people would call that like a safe room, you know, having like a safe room within the house. But there are other ways to do storm shutters, or sorry, well, window shutters as well. And one way that, one technique that I saw in Miami is that they would epoxy grout bolts. So when you say pots, you use an adhesive and you place bolts around your windows, four bolts. And you get plywood sheets. And obviously, you drill holes and you place the sheets over these bolts and tighten them around them. When they are not in use, there are these caps. Because obviously, to have four bolts around your window is not aesthetically easy. But then there are these caps that cover the bolts so that you could blend in with the color of the house. So that's one way to do it if you're not concerned about the aesthetic. Obviously, the shutters that are sold off the shelf, you know, they're also definitely an aesthetic appeal, for sure. But in the event that, you know, we're talking about people that have lower income houses or, you know, the income bracket or medium income bracket, then, you know, you could still go ahead and, as you say, Richard, play the one off the shelf. But for the other areas, we can look to do your own style shutter.
Now, brass tacks is in 4 minutes, and you'd be a great man to have on brass tacks, but we're going to wrap up this program here. What five budget-friendly options can be used to shore up the home?
Well, once again, Ronnie, I have to come back to the to the vulnerable areas of the home. You have, once again, roof, windows, doors. I mentioned before the roof, using the metal connectors between members. Obviously, it'd be difficult to get the connectors at the eave. And when I say the eave, I want those, you know, those listening to picture, this is where the rafter is supported by the room. But they are now, once again, with technology and the time and experience, they are now off-the-shelf connectors that allow you to fix the rafters to the walls on the outside, as opposed to having to access them from the inside. So I would say hurricane connectors, these are not expensive. You can get them from the hardware store, any hardware store in Barbados, for $5 for one. In terms of the windows, we've mentioned storm shutters, you know, doing either off the shelf or building or making your own storm shutter. Then you have the doors. I mentioned doors earlier, just adding another hinge or two to the exterior doors, additional bolts into the side, into the wall, the top and the bottom. I would also mention screw fixings for a gable roof, the area and hip roof, or a gable roof first, the areas that have the highest suction are along the eaves, which is the edge, gable ends, which could be considered to be front or the back of the house, and the ridge. For a hip roof, it will be the same eaves, same ridge, and along the hips. So using more screws along those areas. And finally, I would say the cheapest of the lot, obviously, will be to make sure that your gutters are cleared, your surroundings are cleaned. And if you are living next to any construction, you know, talking to the contractor or the construction manager and telling them to secure the site. Because I found driving around after Elsa, you know, there's a lot of construction going on. I saw so many porta potties that had overturned. And, you know, obviously loose sheets and plywood and board lying around could be a flying missile during the hurricane. So for all contractors out there, make sure that you secure your site when there's a coming hurricane.
Well, what a great program today, Richard. Thank you, Greg. Absolutely fantastic. Mr. Greg Parris. Richard, what a wonderful session we had this morning.
Yes, Ronnie. And of course, thanks for you. And of course, we continue. We have 4 more weeks of these sessions. And hopefully within these sessions, we can have more Barbadians participate and we can have people respond and be secure. Because at the end of the day, this is just the first week of July. So we have a long way to go in the Atlantic hurricane season for 2021, and we urge everyone to be prepared.
Well, thank you, Richard. Thank you, Greg. Have a great day. Wonderful day. That came to you with the compliments of Sagicor.